Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Appreciate that song tonight. I love that song. Great song. Aren't you glad he don't throw the clay away? If he did, none of us would be here tonight. And appreciate seeing Myrtle back. That's Brother Schuler's guitar, by the way. So appreciate that song. John chapter 13 tonight. John chapter 13. And we'll get started tonight. And we've been doing a series on my disciples, and when Jesus said, I want you to be my disciples. And so tonight we'll preach upon the subtitle of the true test, the true test. So there is a true test of being a disciple. Just think about the story that we find here in John chapter 13. We find the Lord at the last Passover, or as most of you have probably seen, the painting, the Last Supper, so to speak. It was supper, it wasn't dinner. And I'm glad the Lord gets it right, that it was supper. Amen, amen to all us Southerners. But we see that He's here with His disciples, and they are gathered around a table, and Jesus is going to kind of enlighten them some more about Him going away. But before He does that, He's going to give them a great illustration of what it is to be a servant. Jesus, knowing that one of the disciples here, Judas Iscariot, was one who would betray Him, and He showed that even that in knowing somebody was, really, I believe Judas was lost because the Bible tells us that Satan entered into him. I believe he was a lost guy. I believe he was a facade of what a disciple was, and I believe Satan used him greatly, and verse 27 tells us that Satan entered into him. And so as we think about this time in Christ's life, that He is about to go to the cross, He is about to give His life for mankind, and here He is at a supper with those who are going to take the helm, or those who are, He's going to pass the baton on to continue this New Testament church. And so I believe that as He's giving them this last picture, that He's given them a picture that is the greatest thing I think any of us could be, and that is a servant. And if Jesus gave us the example of being a servant, we're going to talk more about it here in a little bit, don't you think we ought to be servants? And so as we look at these verses, I want you to just think about the scenery here, that here He is with His disciples at this time of the last Passover. He's here with one who's going to betray Him. He washes their feet, which I don't know about you, but I love all of you, but I ain't washing your feet. Amen. Amen. You say, there's other ways. I'll take you out to eat. I will wash your car or your truck. I will come power wash your house. I'll bring Brother Daniel with me. But I am not washing your feet, right? I have to wrap the football boys' feet sometimes at football. And God help the Reed boys. Whew. I'm telling you, when you wrap those, you're like, Lord Jesus, help me. You know, you go in, you wrap a little bit, and you go back, you get a couple free good breaths, and you go back in. I'm not a foot guy. But I'm going to tell you what, think about in this day. No tennis shoes, no socks, wearing possibly open-toed style sandals, walking everywhere they go. They're in kind of a dry, dusty area, and Christ takes their sandals off, and He bows Himself to His disciples. But to me, I'll tell you, this is amazing. He bows Himself to the very one who's going to betray. And I'm telling you, if that is not a picture of what we should be to this world, look, we know the world's going crazy. We know they are. You know why? Because they're lost. I was telling people yesterday, I think I texted Brother Leper, I said, when I saw that electoral vote, those colleges out there, or the vote coming in, I was thinking, I see a mission field. I see a lot of people who, a lot of states that need churches. I'm telling you, you want to be a church planter, go to California. Go to New York, go to Washington, D.C. Any of these places need the Lord Jesus. You say just because somebody votes one way or the other, are they lost? Probably. Right? I mean, I'm just saying it, and it don't matter, Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever, but I'm telling you, our world needs Jesus. But here's what they need. They need to look into the window of the church and see that we are loving one another. See, the example that the world has out there is us of Jesus Christ. And I wrote this quote down, and basically I was thinking of this today. When the church is a window that the world looks through, now get this, the church is a window that the world looks through to see the actions of Jesus. The church is a window that the world looks through to see the actions of Jesus. Now I want you to notice what he told us to do. You know these verses. Jesus is going to tell us here in verses 21 through verse 27, basically maybe all the way to verse 30, that he's going to sup with the one who's going to deceive him. We know who that is. We know that that's Judas Iscariot. He goes on down verse 31. He says, therefore, when he was gone out, let's talk about Judas. Remember, Judas went out. I love what Jesus told him. He says in verse 27, that thou doest, do it quickly. Can you imagine Judas going, he knows. He knows what I'm going to do. But Jesus says, go do it quickly. Why? Because here's, he's going to explain some things. He said, now, in verse 31 again, now is the Son of God, or the Son of Man, glorified. And God is, and God, I said God, where did that come from? In God. Man, I'm sorry. I feel like, I don't know what happened just there. I went up north real quick. And God. And God is glory. That was better. That was more of Barney 5. And God is glorified in him. Now, what was he speaking of? He was speaking of the soon coming death, that God was going to be glorified in this death of Christ. Why was he going to be glorified? He was going to be glorified because he's dying for me and you. And he goes on down, he says, little children, yet a little while. By the way, this is a freebie. When Jesus calls the disciples little children, he was telling them, you got to grow. I spent 3.5 years with you. Y'all are still babes. You got to grow. How are they going to grow? Well, he tells them, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment. That word new in the Greek is not kind of the new that we would say. It just means afresh. A fresh commandment I give to you, unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Go back to verse 1 of this chapter. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Notice what it says, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. So now Jesus is saying, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, that agape love that is without condition, that love that is without end. Notice what else he's going to say here. He says, ye also love one another. Verse 35, here we are tonight. He said, by this, by what? By loving one another, all men. He said all, so how many? I believe all. All know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Jesus said the way the world, if the church is the window that the world looks into to see the actions of Jesus Christ, the one way that they're going to know that we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking just being a Christian, I'm saying going above and beyond that. As Christians, you all love each other. But he's saying, look, if the world's going to say you're my disciple, the one way they're going to say that is they're going to see that you love one another. And I'll preach on that subject of the true test after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God. Lord, I want to thank you, first of all, Lord, that I'm saved, and Lord, that hell is not even in my future. God, but heaven is. I'm looking forward to it. Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior face to face. But God, I'm also convicted about the world we live in and the lost souls that are all about us. And God, help us as we are here, Lord, first of all, to be a witness, but also, God, not only to be a witness, but to be a testimony of your love one to another. Lord, help me tonight as I preach, and Lord, I want you to be honored and glorified in everything I say and everything I do, God. And if you'll just work through me and speak through me tonight, I would be ever grateful. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice three things very quickly tonight. And before we do that, let me just, I know you know this, and Pastor, I think he went there just not too long ago. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's just look at what love is really quick. You know these verses. This is just kind of a rehearsal of what love truly is, how the Bible describes love. So let's get the biblical definition of what love is here. We'll start in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Love is called charity here, love in action, which God is asking us to do. He says, if you want to be my disciples, you got to have love one for another. In other words, you got to have love in action. He says, charity in verse 4, suffereth long. Hello? It suffereth long and is kind. I want you to think about that word because that'll be one of our points here in a little bit. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is easily provoked. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Well, think of that one. Charity, I love this. Charity never faileth. But whether it be prophecies and all those things, they shall vanish away. But he says, charity or love in action faileth not. We also know that the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, that God is love. In other words, not that God does love, not that God can love, but God is love. That is His characteristic. That is one of His attributes, that God is love. And then the Bible tells us also in 1 John 4:16, it says that if we dwell in God and He in us, that God is love. So then we become God is love. We become God's love in action. We have to be the hand of love that reaches our world. But we will never do it until we love each other inside the walls of the church. And folks, I'm preaching to you tonight. I understand that in some ways. But I want to tell you, this sermon preached to me alone before it got to you. And I had to ask God to forgive me. And you know, sometimes I think the longer you're saved, the more you take for granted things in the Christian life. And I want to say that Pastor said this Sunday, and I agree, that this is one of the greatest churches in the city of Hazlett. No, I'm kidding. It is that. But we have a great church. And you know, me and my family talk about this church all the time. Matter of fact, just this week we had our family meeting supper this week, and we just talk about things. And one thing we love the people of this church. We don't really care for the staff, but we love the people. But we do. We love the people. And you know why I love the people? It's because you love me. And you love the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that there are Christians out there who can love one another. But I want to say that I believe as we see our world going darker and darker, and we're going more toward non-biblical things in this world, I want to say that the world needs to see love between me and you. True love. Can I give you just these three things real quick? Number one is that how does the world see our love one for another? Jesus told you, He said, hey, if you have love one for another, they'll know you're my disciple. Well, how are they going to know that? Well, number one, love. They'll see us serve one another. Jesus gave us that example, verses 2 through 15 of this chapter. Can you imagine how the world would be different if we all just served one another? I just like somebody to open the door for me every now and then. Ain't it aggravating when I've taught my kids, you hold the door for your mother, for your father, for your sister, for a lady, for, you know, if they're older than you, hold it for anybody, really. And I always hate when these young people come in, they open the door and it almost hits you right on the nose as it's going by. You know, what do? You got to love them. You got to love them, right? But it's just amazing how if we thought that if our world, if we love one another, guess what's going to happen? If we love one another, I'm not going to steal from Brother Leper. If we love one another, we're going to fulfill the commandment of the Lord. If we truly love one another and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be the people of love. You used to not hear a lot of preaching on love because it was not macho enough from the Independent Baptists. If you said God is love and most Independent Baptists, he's contemporary. I mean, truly. You got to get up here and preach. Everybody's going to die and going to hell. Well, that's true. But I'll tell you what, they got to go through a lot of love to get there. God put a lot of roadblocks in the way of people going to hell. And when they go to hell, they have to go through every roadblock that God has put there. And I'm telling you what, it's just amazing when you see kids come off of the bus and come into a church and they have a broken home. You know what all they want? They want somebody to love them. They want somebody to just take time and to love them. And I believe this in all my heart. We were talking about the other day that, you know, how the world is. There's so much hatred in the world today. But I'm telling you, I've seen more love in the church and to people of different races and colors and all over the world. We ought to be that witness of love. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have not been called unto..." you have been called unto liberty. Not only, let me start that verse over. I wrote it out. It's not typed out. And so, Galatians 5:13, sorry. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but use liberty for this." He told us. "But by love, serve one another." He says, you have liberty. In other words, God has given us liberty. We are free in Jesus Christ. If you know the truth, Christ has made us free. You're free indeed. We have liberty in Christ. We're not bound by the law anymore. We're not bound by the duties that they used to have to go and do. He says that you have liberty. He says, but you don't have liberty just to go do what you want to. He says, you got liberty to go love people. And we should love one another and serve one another. The world's going to look through the window of the church and they're going to see us serving one another just as Jesus was stooped down and he's washing the disciples' feet. Could you imagine seeing that from an outside? What would you do if you came by one day, the church, and Brother Crawford was washing the staff's feet? That'd be awesome. He'd be gagging, right? It'd kind of be weird. Let's just use a different illustration. Pastor had all of our, I'm giving some hints here. Pastor had all the staff's cars lined up. He's out there just washing them. And we're out there sitting in lawn chairs with a cold glass of iced tea. And we're going, what a pastor. Right? Probably should be the other way around. We should be out there washing his truck for him, right? But I'm saying, what does the world see when they look at us? And if we're not serving one another, how in the world are we going to serve the lost world out there? If we can't love one another in this church, and by the way, there's not anything going on in church. I'm just, you know, everybody's like, well, is it you? Is it me? We feel like we're the disciples at the Last Supper. Who's Judas? You know, there's no Judas here tonight. But if you feel that way, you know, that's the Lord. But we have to serve one another. And I'm glad to be a part of a church who does that. I'm glad tonight that we have people all over this building serving. We have people serving in our youth department. We have people serving in our master clubs. On Sunday morning, we got people serving one another in the nursery. Thank God for our nursery workers, our master club, and our children's church workers, and our choir that's starting back up. Man, I was so happy to see the people that was in choir. I'm glad to see God, people wanting to serve. There ought to be a line when pastor asks us to do things. It ought to be a line that we can serve one another. We see the second thing. This is the hardest one. So just go ahead and click it or tick it. Number two, how are they going to know that we love one another? Because number two, we forgive one another. Everybody just say, oh me, real quick. I wrote this down. I'll share it with you. If you're in church any length of time, somebody's going to do you wrong. Just the way it's going to be. You say, well, everybody's ever done me wrong. Well, you've never been to church for a very long time. It's just going to happen. It's human nature. But I heard this 100 times, and I want to repeat it. Forgiveness is a choice that the Christian must make. You see, I lived in my life before coming from a divorced family. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was forgive my father for the way I was raised. I'm just being honest with you. I'm sure my mom, somebody's watching from a family. That's all right. And I grew up, when my parents split up, I was 12 years old, and just a bad divorce, and it just, you know, anyway, I'm not going to share everything. But I would tell you, I lived almost 5 years of my life with bitterness toward my father. One of the greatest days in my life was when I got saved. I was saved, I was almost 17 years old. when I got saved. And one of the things that God burdened my heart about was this: you need to forgive your father. And you know what I did when I forgave my father? And of course, my dad didn't understand it. My father's a lost man. But it gave me such relief in my life that I still don't have a great relationship with my father, but I love my father. I respect my father in some ways, but I've forgiven him. And guess what? I can look him in his eye and know that I have nothing between me and him. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is somebody who has treated you in such a way, or treated your, in my case, my mother the way, and our family the way, is to truly just go, you know what, you got to forgive them. You know why? Because it'll tank you. It will tank your life. Forgiveness is a choice, and when you make that choice, I'm telling you, all the burdens are lifted. I'm telling you, maybe the angels didn't sing and the birds start twerping, but I'm telling you, it felt like the load of guilt was lifted off of my life. There's people who carry guilt around or carry non-forgiveness around all their lives and never know what it's like to feel the relief from that. Jesus in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Jesus is on the cross. Hello, he's on the cross. You know the story leading up to this part. Now, Jesus put himself there, gave his own life. But he looked out at the crowd and he said, Father, will you forgive them? They know not what they do. Could you imagine? Could you imagine you're the one who beat him and spit on him and pierced his side and nailed him to a cross, and he's looking you in the eye and saying, I forgive you. You say, well, you just don't know what they've done to me. Don't know. Don't need to know. Don't matter. Jesus says, forgive them. I believe when you look at the disciples is that they had to have that forgiveness one for another. Listen, you hang around somebody for 3.5 years, you're going to find out all their flaws. You hang around me about 10 minutes, you're going to find some of mine out. You're going to go, well, I thought Brother Wiggins was a pretty cool guy, but he's kind of weird. I never forget I know Micah's here. I teach at a seminary on Wednesday mornings, and I have a freshman class. And I have Isaac in there, I have Jar, Jonah, and Micah. And I'm just a goofball. Everybody knows that I am, and I don't sit out every day saying, hey, Kyle, how goofy can you be? It's just who I am. That's my personality. And the first class, I wish y'all could have seen their look. They were like, can we transfer to another class? But, you know, I'm just going to enjoy life, and I don't think we have to be Christians who are, you know, I don't think we have to walk like a robot. I think the Lord allows us, he gave us laughter for a reason. Matter of fact, I think the Bible says it's a medicine. Yeah, it does. One of the greatest diseases in the church is that of not forgiving. Don't let it be us tonight. The world ought to look in and see us forgiving one another. Number three. This is an easy one. I was thinking of my mom today. My mom used to tell me this. If you cannot play nice with each other, then just don't play. I can hear it ringing in my ear. You know the third thing tonight that the world ought to see? If we're going to love one another, we've got to serve one another, we've got to forgive one another. But this is so simple tonight. You're saying, I came to church for this? Yeah. Sorry. Be kind one to another. Just be kind. You say, really? That's all you got? Well, that's what the Bible says. This was our kids' verses growing up. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. Doot, doot, boobity doo. That's how our kids learn this verse. And when they would come and say, Brady doing this, Shelby doing this, quote the verse. Be ye kind one to another. Just be kind one to another. You know what makes people mad that are not being kind to you? Is to be kind to them. Matter of fact, the Bible says it heaps coals upon their head. You just love them and you just be kind to them. I believe we live in a world today that some kindness would be nice. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor. Here it is, preferring one another. No, you go first. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." But here he says, "Especially unto them who are the household of faith." Be kind. Be kind to one another. I believe we see the example through Jesus Christ tonight of what kindness truly is. Jesus was a kind person. Matter of fact, he said, "I'm meek and lowly." He was a very kind person. And listen tonight, I want to be a kinder person every day of my life. Why? Because the world's looking at us. When they see us looking like we're at an MMA fight, and by the way, Baptist churches are known for that. Everybody knows how you start a Baptist church. You just split one and now you got two. Right? That's how there's churches all over. There ought to be First Baptist churches, Second Baptist churches, Third Baptist churches, Fourth Baptist churches, if they want to name them in sequence. But you want to know why that is? Because people get mad. If we would just be kind one to another. Listen, I know there's reasons for churches splitting and all those things, but I'm saying in broad spectrum is that the church ought to be the kindest place. There's one thing I love, there's many things I love about our church, but I love watching people come in our church, and maybe they don't look just like us, but I always love seeing people go to them. I love that. As a staff member, I love to see that. I love to see people, I love when people are trying to get out and the Hells have them cornered back there somewhere. Good job, Hell. Miss Hell is like, she's like the bodyguard of you not getting out. I like that. And her, I'm going to brag on her because I seen this. Is that she says, "Did you fill that card out? I can get that connection card for me." And many of you, I see y'all doing it. I'm like, man, praise God. Amen. I'm a little timid sometimes to do that because older people can get away with stuff that us younger people can't. And thank God you got ministry. You can be kind. And listen, I love it. And by the way, Miss Hales tricked me a couple of times. I wanted to give her a connection card. I'm a member and staff member of this church. She has a way of saying things, and I was thinking, I don't mean to just point her out because there's many of you that do that, and I'm thinking, man, how kind our people are. Listen, we can either be followers of Jesus or we can just be fans of Jesus. How can someone tell that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? I remember this quote from something. What kind of church would my church be if everybody in the church was just like me? Well, we'd have silly church. We'd have children's church in church. But I was thinking, if we all just thought, what kind of church would my church be if everybody in the church was just like me? What kind of church would we be? Look, the world's looking at us, especially right now. I mean, they're looking at how we're going to react to all this stuff going on, just like, hey, we're just going to keep loving one another. We're just going to keep loving souls, keep loving the Lord. People come in those back doors and they don't look just like us, we're going to love them. Amen. When people in the church mess up and when the staff messes up, hey, just love us. I've made mistakes before. I'm going to write a book one day and I haven't got enough paper to write it on of what not to do in the ministry. I believe I've got some people helping me write that. But I haven't figured everything out, but I do know this, is that I'm glad there's people that just say, you know what, we forgive you. We love you. Brother, go on. The greatest people I ever met early in my ministry was the first church I pastored. I was an idiot. I went into a small church of 20 people, and I look back on some of my sermons, they weren't even biblical. I didn't know what I was thinking sometimes. Pastor always asked me, hey, can you just pull something out, you know, real quick and preach? No, I can't because I don't even agree with my own sermons back then. I was mean. I just preached whatever I heard somebody else preach. Or I conducted services not like I should or something like that. And I'm thinking, and those people are just, we love you, brother. Like, I'm glad they did. I'm glad they were so kind to me. And the church grew. I don't even know how I did that. We didn't even, you know, I mean, it's just amazing how God blesses. You know why? Because we have to love one another. I know y'all know this, is that we as people are never going to be perfect until we meet our Savior. And we just got to learn to go, you know what, I forgive you. I'm just going to serve you. And we're just going to be kind one to another. The world needs a little bit of kindness, don't they? I'm telling you. I love when you show people kindness and they go, are you okay? You know? Like, well, you must be a church member. That's right. I'm a member of God's family. And that's what they ought to see in our life. Let's pray. Pastor, come. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, as we end this service, Lord, I just want to say thank you for people in my life who have served me, who have forgiven me, who have been kind to me, and Lord, showed your love through their life. And Lord, hopefully I've done that to others. But God, I realize that there's a lost world looking inside this church and churches all over this world. And Lord, they're looking for an example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us all to be that example. Lord, help us all to be better disciples. In Christ's name, as we stand together.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.